Welcome to the Every Nation Dorado Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Good morning, church. What a wonderful day to be in the presence of the Lord. I love that song about honoring the Lord. The Word of God is very clear that those who honor me, I will honor, says the Lord. And it is truly the way to go, is to honor the Lord in all that we do. Amen. Our mission is to honor God and to make disciples. That's our motto as our church. And so honoring God is at the center of our motivation as to why we do what we do. Amen. I just want to celebrate our men. We had a wonderful hike yesterday all the way to Avis Dam. And how many of the guys were there? If you were there, just raise your hand. Wave, guys, wave. Wave. We were there. All the men were there. I don't know where the rest of the guys were, you know, must have been praying at home or something like that, you know. So we had a fantastic time praying, concerning our hearts, taking up our responsibility as men. And I just want to say this, that there is an imperative, there is an undeniable, non-negotiable role that men play in our societies. It is so by design that God ordained that men need to take a certain place in our communities. And most of the time in the church, the ladies are excellent. They are truly, like we always say, heaven is going to be majority. You saw that pie graph of the census about how Namibia is actually like almost about 50-50. I think the ladies outnumber us by two or three or so. Right? I believe in heaven is going to be like 70-30. Maybe 80-20. And don't worry, you won't be looking for a husband there or anything like that, so it won't matter. But it truly, truly is a crisis, and it is an agenda of the enemy to pursue men in the destruction of their souls and their eternal destinies. Because statistically, if a man gets saved, the chances of his entire family coming to the Lord are much higher. And so the enemy is very strategic about how he's approaching this. And so it is important that we commend that. And I want to encourage you, if you're married, pray for your husband, pray for your brothers, pray for your uncles, pray for your fathers. The enemy is going after them. You know, even when the enemy was trying to destroy a deliverer in the time of Moses, when the Egyptians were against the Israelites, the edict from the Pharaoh said, all the boys under the age of two. And the soldiers said, yeah, but what about the girls? You know, this is not fair. And they said, no, go for the men. Because the man is the inception of the family. Even when Jesus was almost killed by Herod, same thing. All the boys under the age of two, go after them. And so we have a deliberate heart for men to rise up and take their rightful place. If a man is trying in your home to take his rightful place and to lead, ladies, don't stand in his way. That is some Jezebelic, satanic attitudes. Don't stand in his way. If he's trying to lead, say, no, it's my turn to read the Bible. Don't say like that. If he wants to read the Bible for the family, if he wants to pray, encourage the men. Men must lead spiritually and morally. They must lead. Amen? Amen? And all the feminists say? Oh, I didn't know you guys were here this morning. Awesome. And then tomorrow is our day of prayer and fasting for everyone and forever. And so we want to encourage you. This is not a nice to have. It is a necessity. Jesus said, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. And so we are called as a church, as a community to pray for our city, pray for our families. And so we want to encourage you. If you are not in a connect group, you are not part of the life of our church during the week, we want to encourage you to get into a connect group. I've already seen so many people moving and getting into connect groups. We want to encourage all of you that are still hesitant. It will change your life 100%. And so please do sign up at the information table for a connect group so that you're able to mature and grow in the things of God. Amen. And then I just had a strong sense for people who are going through some financial pressure. That says the Lord, I am the Lord your God who provides for you. That you are not to fear. Refuse to fear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So today we're continuing with our series called Set Apart Nation that we started last week. And our theme for the year is the theme of being set apart. This word of being set apart means that you are made special from out of the nations, from out of your family, from out of your community, that you are chosen to be different. You are chosen to be unique. You are chosen to be weird and strange. The Word of God says that you are peculiar. You stand out from among your community. And it is important that you have this. Now, this is our theme for the year. And I had a strong sense this morning that the Lord was saying that there are levels of being set apart. There are degrees of being holy. That there's a level where you say, okay, I'm no longer going to be fornicating. But that's not the place where God has called you to be. He calls you into greater levels of consecration so that your mind and your heart is not just saying, don't do that, but that your heart and your mind is actually involved in pursuing the righteous philosophy, the righteous mindset that comes from the Spirit. Are you with me? And so just because you have not slept around for the last 6 months, don't feel like, oh, that's it, and now I finally feel good. No, there's more to God than just not messing around. And there was a prophetic word that somebody sent me that they were praying for the church, one of the members of the church. You know, there are people that pray for us. They're not necessarily an intercessor, but they had a strong sense that people did well during the fast in terms of consecrating themselves, staying away from certain things, getting certain new habits. But now it's March, and they are sort of drawing back to the old habits. And there is a strong warning from the Holy Spirit to say, do not relent, do not draw back from what the Lord has started in the beginning of the year. Amen. All right, so last week we started off in this series talking about how nations belong to God. And we were very clear concerning the fact that the earth is the Lord's. Whether you believe in God or not, it doesn't matter. It's like oxygen. Even if you don't believe in it, you are going to breathe. You are going to breathe that oxygen. And so Jesus Christ and the Lord God Almighty is God over all nations. Over all nations, over all the earth. The earth is the Lord's. All the things in the earth is the Lord's. All the people in the earth are the Lord's. And so we touched on that. This message is online. You can go back and follow it on. We ended off by saying that Israel is a special nation unto God. And some people didn't really like that, you know, and that's fine. We know that as preachers, we didn't come to be popular. We came to declare the prophetic word of the season. And so if you don't like what we are preaching, feel free to come to us. We are willing to explain with scriptures. If you don't have scriptures to defend your position, please repent. Otherwise, you might be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Ask your neighbor, are you a wolf? A good-looking, good-smelling, hallelujah, tongue-talking wolf? Are you with me? Yes. The way that we live is based on the scripture. That's it. The word of God is our final standard. The culture might dictate something else. The media might dictate something else. The government might dictate something else. But the eternal word of God does not change. The word of God stands forever, even above the name of the Lord. And so we preach according to that. Today we're going to touch on nations being ruled from the heavenlies. And next week we'll go to the principles of a godly nation. However, we're going to extend today a little bit. I mentioned to you last week that I wanted to show you some footage. We don't have enough time to build the foundation for nations being ruled in the heavenlies and to do the videos. Our service needs to be a bit longer. But what we're going to do today is just build the scriptural foundation for this principle, and then the following week we'll touch a little bit on the illustrations from different nations. Are you with me? Okay. All right. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning that your word is truly alive. And we pray, Lord, that as we receive your word this morning, that it will bring transformation into our lives and completely revolutionize our thinking and open the gates of blessing in our lives, in our families, and in our nations. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just for those of you who have small babies with you, we have a mother's room just around the corner on this floor, and we've got the television feed of what you can see right now, and your baby can run around and shout hallelujah on that side. And so please, it's fine if your baby is here, but if they start to cry out like, who's that brother? Bartolomeo. Yes, if they start to cry out and the people are like, shh. Right? Please take them to the Holy of Holies. It's just around the corner. Excuse me. All right. So nations are ruled from the heavenlies. So we're talking about how nations ought to be set apart unto God, and Israel is an icon. It is supposed to be the first example, and then how nations, a template of how nations ought to have related to God. And next week, when we touch a little bit on certain examples, we will see that there are certain nations who have, at their fundamental documents, actually imported this idea of being under God. If you consider specifically the United States, they have these references about how you have rights, unalienable rights that are endowed to men by their creator, that all men are created equal. And then on their money, it says, in God we trust. Some say, no, that's because the money is the God. Are you guys catching my joke, y'all? So. Okay, so there are some nations who have put in mechanisms to include God into their society. But if you consider where America is going now, and so nations are being influenced from the heavenlies. And I'm going to look at a passage of scripture with you this morning that will show you this principle. And the way that the Lord rules is that God doesn't rule as a king. He doesn't rule actively. So if God wants to do something, he doesn't get off his throne and go to collect it. If he wants to collect something and give it to someone, he doesn't do that. What he does is that the Father is seated on the throne, and the Son of God, which was in the bosom of the Father, went to be incarnated and returned to the Father, and then the Holy Spirit proceeds. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, but the Father stays seated. But beyond that, God rules in a council. He rules in a council. So he is the Lord God Most High, and then there are Elohims. There are under gods, to coin a phrase. There are angelic beings and spiritual beings, princes or principalities and rulers that are under the government or the cabinet of God, and that they also are executive in their function. They go about fulfilling the word of the Lord. And so from the beginning, God's intention was that Adam was going to be in this council, representing the realm of the earth. Are you with me? And in the book of Job, it starts off saying, on the day when the sons of God came before the Lord, Satan was among them. Did you notice that? The angels came before the Lord and they are reporting and they are consulting with God. And among them is another angel that was not supposed to be there because of his treason, because of his rebellion, and he took a third of the stars with him. He lobbied. You know, whenever, tell your neighbor, whenever you sin, you will always take some of us with you. Sin is not nice alone. You always want to have nice company. Pass, 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 pass. And so Satan, when he fell, he deceived a cohort of the angels. Anyway, so in the book of Job, when the sons of God come to present themselves, Satan was among them. And God didn't say, hey. Get this brother out. He asked him, where have you been? And he said, no, I've been going to and fro through my territory. Your territory? Yeah. I was cast out of heaven, but then when I came to the earth, Adam was so gracious. He gave me his territory. Adam was supposed to be the one appearing. Now Lucifer came appearing. Can we call up the representative from the realm of the earth? And Lucifer is like, hallelujah. Have you observed my servant Job? Yeah. We have observed him. Have you seen how he is devout? There's nothing that he will do that is wrong. And then Satan said, yeah, isn't it because you have protected him and put a hedge of fire around him that he is like that? Touch his wealth, touch his life, touch his health. See if he will not curse you to your face. And the Lord was, he put the gauntlet down. He put the challenge down and all the heavens heard it. And so God couldn't leave it like that. He had to allow the test to go through. And so within this council, and please go back to our messages from last year called Kingdoms and Cultures. We explained this a little bit more in detail to show you how these rulers and principalities were instituted by Lucifer. And now when Christ came, he disarmed principalities and rulers in the heavenly places. But those people are not compliant. They don't just follow the decree of the Lord. They are rebellious. And so there is this warfare. And so we're going to look at the book of Daniel. And Daniel particularly shows us this kind of activity as the angelic realm is coming in to bring the purposes of God to pass in Babylon through an intercessor politician called Daniel. Other angelic beings and principalities were blocking the realm of the spirit, and they were causing agendas to be in place so that the next regime could come in. This is why they were provoking the enemies of Daniel to make laws, trick the emperor to make laws that prohibit Daniel from praying. Because when Daniel prays, he opens the realms. And the princes of God, Michael and Gabriel, could come in. Because those territories were set apart for nations that were dedicated unto certain gods. Are you following? Okay, so now most of us know the story from Daniel of the lion's den. And we know the story of how they were thrown into the burning furnace of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego, okay? And so those guys were just coming out of the furnace, and the king was amazed. This is just before this, all right? And some of us know about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. By the way, this is part of the realm of the spirit, is the dream realm. And so when these entities are operating, they will also operate within the realm of dreams, especially for dignitaries, especially for presidential figures or kings. Even if they don't know God, God can communicate to them through dreams. This nation is not led from the state house. This nation is led from the heavenly realms. And whoever is sitting in the seat of power facilitates the agenda of heaven or the agenda of hell. And so we are to be cautious and prayerful to ensure that we don't have satanic gate-opening individuals who are willing to pass laws and change times and seasons to facilitate a demonic agenda in this nation, ultimately going towards human sacrifice and the worship of demons. That's the agenda. Okay. So now let's go here to Daniel chapter 4. And this is another dream that Nebuchadnezzar has. And in Daniel chapter 4, he is going to give us a report as Nebuchadnezzar himself. He will give us a report as to what happened to him. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar at this time is ruler of the greatest empire on earth. Are you following? He is an emperor, not like a president. He is like a king. All right. So this is where we pick up the scenario. Please give us the Bible app chapter 4 so that it's a little bit bigger. We can see here. All right. So look here. He says, King Nebuchadnezzar, to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. So this is a message from King Nebuchadnezzar to all the nations. At the time, King Nebuchadnezzar besieged, surrounded Jerusalem and surrounded Judea and conquered them in war. Jeremiah was warning the king. He told him that there will be a force coming from outside. You kings are opening the door and causing all manner of wickedness to prevail in the land. There will be consequences. And they would not listen. They arrested the prophet. And then what happened is Nebuchadnezzar came. He surrounded the city for many, many months to the point where the people ran out of food and water and the woman started to eat their children because of desperation. Eventually, they surrendered and then Nebuchadnezzar took with him some young guys, especially from the nobility, who were going to serve in his court, supervising in the area of philosophy, etc., etc. Daniel was one of them. All right. So King Nebuchadnezzar, to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Next verse. It seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. This is a wicked king. King Nebuchadnezzar worships his own king. He even called Daniel Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar is the name of his god, Bel. Daniel, I like you so much, I'll call you after the name of my idolatrous god. And Daniel was standing in the court of the king, serving that king and saying, we cannot eat this food, we cannot do this, because he was set apart within that nation. Are you with me? And then Nebuchadnezzar continues to say, so when he says the Most High God, he's talking about Daniel's God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that he just saw bringing them out of a fire. And he made a law to say, don't talk bad about this God. Next. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. This is what Nebuchadnezzar, an earthly king, is saying about God Almighty. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. Next. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house. So now he begins to report to us about himself. Guys, this is not a story. This is a historical account. If you look at the archaeological record, you will find record of this king Nebuchadnezzar. He existed. This is why I love the Bible. It's not just stories invented. This is history. Are you with me? So this king, centuries ago, says, I was at ease in my house, in my palace, and prospering in my palace. And then he says what? Next. I saw a dream that made me afraid. I had a dream. As I lay in bed, the fantasies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I had a dream. I was in my palace, prosperous. But then I had a dream that started to disturb me. Give us the next one, verse 6. So I made a decree. I passed a ruling. And I said that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. All the wise men, these are the advisors in the king's court, magicians, astrologers, seancers, sorcerers, all men. You know, when we say the magi, these three kings that came from the east, you remember the three wise men? Myrrh, frankincense, gold to Jesus. They are coming from this area. They are called the Chaldeans. Looking at the stars and predicting and perceiving royal bloodlines. So then he says, the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. All my government officials were useless. And then, at last, Daniel came in before me. By the way, Daniel is the supervisor of the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans. He didn't say, no, I'm only going to supervise the Jewish. Mm-mm. It's amazing. And you can supervise the witches in your office. Yeah? Yeah, there may be witches. Pastor Chris, there are witches in my office. Supervise them. Yeah, but they are going to pass laws for me to be in the lion's den and for me to be in the lion's cave. The Lord will bring you out. The Lord will bring you out. Okay, I digress. Then it says, at last, Daniel came in before me, who was named Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, small g, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. So he says that in Daniel has a spirit of the holy gods. I've seen it. He's different from my other officials. Then he says, and I told him the dream, saying this. Now, we'll take note of this dream. We are talking about how nations are governed from the realm of the spirit. And Nebuchadnezzar will teach us this. Are you with me? It's awesome. Okay. So, O Belteshazzar, this is how he speaks to Daniel. O Daniel, chief of the magicians. Because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. Next. The visions of my head, by the way, the same spirit that was in Daniel is in you. Yes, some of you love that. The others are like, ah. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. This is what I saw in my dream. I saw and behold a tree, a tree in the midst of the earth. Do you see the international global implication of this dream? It's a tree on the planet. And then it says, in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. This tree was tall. And then what's next? Verse 12. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven. The top of this tree was reaching all the way to the sky, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, meaning everyone on earth could see this tree. This is his dream. Its leaves, the tree's leaves were beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and it was food, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. And I saw in the vision of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. Okay, what is this watcher? The other place in the Bible, go back quickly to verse 12. You mustn't read the Bible like a newspaper. Just headlines. There are details. You must read it like a antenuptial contract, like a prenup. Okay, for those of you who are not yet married, is that contract that you make before you get married
of how much will go to the husband, how much will go to the wife. You must read it like that. Underline.
It will have implications for your regime. Okay, so that's why we slow down. The first place where this term watcher comes in is in Genesis, here chapter 5, 6, 7. When certain kinds of angels left their position and came into the earth in order to have sexual relations with women and to begin to desecrate the bloodline because of the prophecy that through the bloodline of the woman will come a Messiah. Are you with me? This is the first. These are watchers. So they are almost like observers or supervisors. They are principalities. Are you with me? So Nebuchadnezzar is sleeping. He has this dream of this tree. And the tree is doing all these amazing things around the world. And then what happens is that a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. Next one. What did he do? He proclaimed aloud and said thus. So in another version, the expanded version, it says that he made a decree. He made a ruling. Are you with me? He made a decree, he made a ruling saying, do this in this territory. And this was the decree. This is what he said aloud. He proclaimed a proclamation. Have you seen this? This is like when you proclaim a city and all of that. This is legal terminology. He made a proclamation. And he said, chop down the tree and lop off or pull off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. Next one. But leave the stump of its roots in the ground, in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. And let his portion be with the beasts, the animals, in the grass of the earth. Are you following? So the angel says, chop down this tree that was so high, touching the heavens, that everyone was depending on. Chop it down. And then afterwards, leave it. Don't uproot it. Let the stump be cut and bind it with bronze and with iron. And then let the dew fall on it. Okay, we continue. Let his mind. So you look at the personification. He begins to refer to the tree or to the stump as his or him. Are you following? Let his mind be changed from a man's mind, and let a beast's mind or an animal's mind be given to him, and let 7 periods pass over him, 7 years pass over him. So let the king lose his mind. Let him go insane. And then it says what? The sentence, you see, the ruling, the sentence is by the decree of the watchers. Have the watchers have made a ruling in their council. This group of angels have made a ruling in their council. The decision is by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets it over the lowliest of men. And sets over it the lowliest of men. Meaning sometimes by the ruling of heaven you'll be given a wicked king. Why are these angels coming in and bringing this decree? It's because God wants to show something. Don't be eager to become a head of state. You will become a parable. Oh, yes. This is true. Heads of states, prophets, kings and prophets, you are a parable because you are an instrument in an extended kingdom. Are you with me? You are being an instrument in the hand of the Most High. Now you just want to become president so that your friends can benefit or not. Or because your mom told you when you were small, you are going to be president, my child. President. Don't rush into that thing. Because by the time you are coming into office, you are being received by spiritual entities that were there before your mother was born. And then it says, next one, verse 18. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, saw, and you, O Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Next. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was dismayed. He was disturbed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. Yo. Ish. That's what Daniel was saying. Ish, Baba. And then he says, and the king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Don't be afraid. And Belteshazzar answered and said, so Daniel answered and said, my lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. I wished that this dream is not about you. Give us the next one. The tree you saw, which grew and became strong, so that its top reached the heavens, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which beasts of the field found shade, and in whose branches the birds of the heavens lived. It is you, O king. You have grown and become strong. This is true. This is true. Nebuchadnezzar was a force to be reckoned with. Not only in that, he was an architect. He beautified Babylon and made it majestic. One of the seven wonders of the world today are the hanging gardens of Babylon. Ancient. And so it says, you, O king, you are that tree. Your greatness has grown and reached to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. Next one. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High. Did you notice that? I thought it was the decree of the watchers. The watchers are decreeing in concert with the Most High. The chairman, it is through the chair. The ruling is made through the chair. You are the board members. You guys understand what I'm saying? Okay. It is a decree which has come upon my lord, the king. A ruling was made concerning you, O great man. And this ruling is made from heaven concerning you. And then it says, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, with the animals. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And you shall be wet with the dew of heaven. It will be raining. You will not look for shelter. And seven periods of time shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Oh, yes. Pastor Chris, what did he say? What about my vote? My vote is my secret. Vote all you want. There are permissions that God grants. But I'm telling you, the end of the matter is going towards the fulfillment of God's agenda. It can be resisted, it can be delayed, but eventually it will come to pass. And then it says, Daniel continues. This is why he was terrified. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. After you have gone through this, once you realize that heaven is the one that rules, then you'll come back to your right mind and your kingdom will be restored to you. Until then, eat sand. And the ladies are like, what about his family? I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar had a family. Heaven is not concerned with the affairs of a small home when you have ascended to a throne that collides with God. Tell your neighbor, mind your own business. Leave God alone. Let him rule. Oh, yes. You are not wise enough to be advising God. Then, what did he say next? Therefore, O king, let me give you advice. Oh, Daniel, this guy was amazing. Let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. King, I am your servant and your subject and your advisor. I know how you live. And I know by revelation that this decree is not disconnected from your life. So now, O king, repent. This is my advice to you. What does it say next? All this came upon Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar. Next one. Some of you, this is the most Bible you have read in the last 10 years. Another verse. And we're going to overdose. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof. Consider this. The dream came, the interpretation came, the advice came. Only 12 months later, a year later, is when these things are falling. Are you with me? So he's given a year. It didn't happen the very next morning. Boom. 12 months. And at the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal, on the terrace of the royal palace of Babylon. Look at this. Next one. And the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? And then, while the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. Is this not the great, amazing majesty of my kingdom that I have built? Because I am a self-made man. And is this not the business that I have come up with my own hands? And is this not what I have achieved in my own strength? Boastful mortal man. And a voice fell and it said, the kingdom is taken now. Then, 32. And you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made, O king. It doesn't matter, your royalty. Remember one of the highlights, it seems like if you're reading the Bible, and you read between the lines in the commentary, you will notice that Nebuchadnezzar is a connoisseur when it comes to culinary arts, when it comes to certain kinds of foods, you know. The guy, he likes delicacies. This is why he will eat grass. Even Daniel, by the time they arrived, the king is already saying, give those guys from the sushi and give those guys from the pork. And they said, no, we cannot eat those things. It is nice, eh? It is nice, just taste. And so here, you shall eat grass. And seven periods of time shall pass over you until, look at the until. There are some of us, we are eating grass because we are still obnoxious. I even enjoyed this grass anyway. You know when God is disciplining you and you are still like, yeah, but I'm enjoying it. I don't know if you guys have such kids. When you are beating them, they are just like, hmm. Until your spouse has to come, oh, okay, let's take a break. Time out. Until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Third time spoken. Next. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, but now immediately. After he boasted his mouth from his roof, from his balcony. He was driven from among men and ate grass. They keep emphasizing this of the eating of the grass. Ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. You know, sidebar, you know, when Saddam Hussein was found, by the way, Saddam Hussein is ruler over Persia, isn't it? Because Iraq is ancient Persia, ancient Babylon. Okay? When he was found hiding in that hole, and he came out, his nails were like long like this, his hair had grown and all. It's almost like there was a type of this scripture that had come to pass with regards to this great, great man called Saddam Hussein. Anyway, I'm just saying, when you watch the news, don't connect it with your scripture. It's like, sure, this lady is like Jezebel. Wow. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. He began to repent. And then, next one. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He continues to speak. It's an utterance. Look at what he says. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. This is real, guys. The fact that God loves us is not to validate what we are. It's to validate who he is. That he will love a wretch like me. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven. You see that host of heaven? The council of heaven? He does what he wills, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? This is true. Tell your neighbor, God does what he wants. Yes. And if you don't like it, it doesn't matter. Tell your neighbor, if you don't like it, it doesn't matter. You are too small, too inconsequential. You know, by the way, if you look from the space station, I'm talking as if I was there, but if you look from the space station and you look to the earth, where they take pictures of the earth, you cannot see you. They cannot see you from there. And God, in the sense of his transcendence, is far. It says he holds the universe in the span of his hand. When he looks like this, he can't see you. It requires his power to see you. Because you are small. Small. The only thing that he might be able to see is your big mouth.
and my big mouth. I'm preaching to myself also. Oh, yes. Because that big mouth that said, is this not the kingdom? Is this not the majesty? Is this not the world? And he got cut down. And yet he loves you. And it says, at the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Hallelujah. Next one. Are we done? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right, and his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. That sounds like something from the New Testament. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the pride. I thought resisting the pride just means that you'll leave me alone. Mm-mm. It means I will make you eat grass. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Tell your neighbor, thank you for Jesus. Oh, yes. It's because of Christ that we have the grace of God. Without that, justice. Are you with me? So I want to give you two more principles, but it's not got long scriptures, just to show you the next principle. So first, God is sovereign over the nations. Number two, God permits leaders to rule. Give us Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Look at the construction. He permits it. He doesn't have to allow them, but God likes to have participatory leadership. It says something about him. He shares his lordship. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. There are other lords and kings. Give us Romans. Yes. It says here, look, this is New Testament, and this is what the apostle says to the church. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, to the government. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by, repeat. Then verse 2, consequently, as a result, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. And this is the judgment that also comes from the penalties instituted in the criminal code of the nation. Are you with me? Yes. And then he says later, the one who does right doesn't have to be afraid, because the sword of the king or of the government exists, or the gun of the government exists for those who do evil, not for those who do right. But there is a throne above the government, that if the government comes against the church and says, stop preaching that Jesus, we have to say, sorry, we cannot obey you, we must obey God. As long as the laws of a government are consistent with the laws of God, we are willing to obey. But once a government goes against God, we cannot but obey God. Are you with me? So God allows earthly leaders to rule. Give us the last principle on the slide. Okay. Oh, man. The God of this world. Okay, Pastor Chris, if God is ruling now so powerfully, he can make Nebuchadnezzar eat grass, then why is the earth the way that it is? It's because of the second principle, that God allows earthly rulers, and because of what I said earlier on, how Satan stole the authority of mankind. Give us quickly here 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the app so that you can see. Look here, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Who is the God of this age? It's Satan. So Satan is ruling because of the decree of God that says, let them have dominion. He took that and he's ruling right now. The only ones that put Satan under is the church.
He is ruling by legality. When the demons came, when Jesus came into the synagogue after fasting, he came in and the demons stood up and said, "Why are you here already? You have come to destroy us before our time. We have a right to rule here." And so Jesus legitimately took back Adamic power. This is why he incarnated. He became a man to take back that authority. And then he gave that key. He gave the keys of the kingdom. He gave those keys to the church. And now the church, everyone who believes, will cast out evil spirits and subdue principalities and rule. And rule in the earth. Why is Satan ruling? Because the church isn't. Okay, we'll teach a little bit more about this next week when we deal a little bit. And there's a reason why we're doing this now, because it's Independence Day and all of that coming up and all. It's within the theme. Are we done? Is that the last principle? Is there one more? Oh, I'm so generous. Give us the last one there. Oh, yes. Yeah, we have to say this. But Jesus is the ultimate king. Revelation 11 verse 15, just put for us so that we can read this. We can't leave believing that only Satan is ruling. My goodness. Revelation 11 verse 15, please put for us there. This is awesome, awesome, awesome. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, to the Old Testament, to the New Testament. We are on a tour through the Bible. Amen. This is in the book of Revelation. It says, "The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.'" Hallelujah. Can we stand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Where you are, just lift your hands to the Lord and say, "My God, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords." Those of you who have spoken with that mouth of yours arrogantly and praised yourself, repent now. Say, "Lord, I am nothing if not for your grace. I am nothing without you, Lord. Where would I be without you, Lord? Who would I be without you, Lord?" Yes, Lord. Today is a day to humble ourselves. Let not what happened to Nebuchadnezzar happen to us. Because we take the counsel of Daniel. Repent of your sins. Repent. Take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remain with Jesus. Don't ruin your family. Don't ruin your business. Don't ruin your life. You might be thinking, there's somebody thinking, "Yeah, but I know a lot of wicked people that are doing very well." It's just a matter of time before their tree will be chopped down. If it's not now, the moment they come into glory, judgment day is waiting. But as for God's children, there is mercy for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for your people right now. In the holy name that is above every other name. Lord, I thank you that their eyes are being opened this morning to perceive the greatness and the majesty of God, the sovereign one who rules over the affairs of men and rules over the kingdoms of the earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have made us as the church to rule, to be seated together with you in heavenly places, to rule over satanic forces. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers and forces in this dark place. But we are not coming in our own strength. We are using the name that is above every other name. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are established and safe. I pray for your church, Lord, this morning. Let them walk in the fullness of the authority that you have given to us, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you are here this morning, you are not born again. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You have not given your life to Christ. You are not living as a believer, as a Christian. You might call yourself a Christian, but your life doesn't show the fruit of it. You need to be born again. You need to make right with God this morning. You must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. This morning, the Holy Spirit is speaking to people and inviting you, make right with God. You cannot be good enough to enter eternal life. You must be born again. So if that's you, you need to be born again this morning. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to be washed of all your sins. You need to be born again. I want to pray for you. If that's you, where you are, just raise your hand up high so that you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Raise your hand up high. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You must be born again. I see that hand at the back. Is there anybody else? You must be born again. Jesus paid the price already. That's the good news. It's a free gift. I see that hand. It's a free gift that you can receive a new life and you can receive eternal life today. Amen. Those of you are raising your hand, I want to pray for you. Please come and stand here so we can pray for you. Bring your phone, bring your bag with you in case the person next to you is a Nebuchadnezzar of sorts. Thank you, Lord. Giele liba la dosane, kaya lele basandani. Baya la le kese ya dige peso da ya galala la la. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that Christ came to save sinners. Are you guys sinners? Are you sinners? Yes? Like I was. Amen. Yes. Jesus doesn't save people who think they are good. You have to realize I am wicked to the core and I think I'm good. But Jesus came because of our sins. Amen. And today I've got good news for you. You can receive eternal life today. You can receive peace with God. That from today, in your conscience, in your heart, in your mind, your sins are forgiven and that you are receiving eternal life. You can be sure that eternal life is your portion. By the merits of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we stretch our hands to them? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just open your hands if you can like this and pray with me to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Just as I am, I know that I'm a sinner. And today, I believe you died for me on the cross. That you died for my sins. You suffered in my place. And I believe in 3 days you were raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, you are alive. Lord Jesus, you are alive. Today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And my master, today I repent of my sins. I put all my trust, not in myself, but in you, Lord Jesus. You can save me. You can change me. You can heal me. You can restore me. I receive eternal life right now as a free gift. I receive forgiveness for all my sins. I receive a new heart. I receive a new spirit right now. And from today, I'm a new creation. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Something is changing today, okay? Yeah, this is how it starts. Many of us have come just like this. Our lives have been changed. Put your faith not in me. Who am I? Who am I? Who is this majesty? I am nothing. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the Savior. He will meet every need according to his riches in glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. We want to spend some time with you, praying for you some more and giving you some advice and giving you some guidance. So please follow this young lady here. She's one of our leaders. She's going to lead you just there to the balcony. Just spend some time. Some leaders will pray for you and then you can come back, all right? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord transform you. May the Lord cause your prayers to be answered. May the Lord cause you to experience the favor of the Lord from today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please follow her there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands to the Lord? Is somebody here? This is like a piercing pain on the chest, okay? A piercing pain on the chest. Ah! Like this, okay? Here, almost towards the heart. Be healed of that affliction in the name of Jesus Christ. We break that off today in the name of Jesus Christ. If somebody else, you get a headache. This is coming from almost like the right eye around the back like this, to the back. Ah, like this. A headache, like a migraine of some kind. Okay, I don't know if it's right eye or left eye. I think it's right eye. Like that. Okay, the Lord is breaking off that affliction from your life. And all manner of sicknesses and diseases, we rebuke you out of the people of God in the name of Jesus. We take authority over every affliction of the devil in the mighty name of Jesus. Be uprooted from their lives, be uprooted from their bodies, be uprooted from their families. You spirit of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, we break your power. We command you, let them go. We release the healing of God right now over the people of God, Lord. We honor you and we thank you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and full of favor and mercy towards you. And may the Lord give you peace that causes you to prosper, even in your body as your soul prospers, even your children, even your spouse and your marriage, even your business and your workplace. May everything relating to you be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus as you keep honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit envintook.org.